This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, right now in the Premier League, as you know, Leicester and West Ham are in the third and fourth positions. Under any normal arrangements, they would be qualifying for the Champions League. Under this new proposal, they would be leapfrogged by teams currently sitting below them in the league. Aston Villa and Nottingham Forest have won the European Cup three times. Spurs and Arsenal and Man City have not won it at all. And so these proposals do away with sporting merit. It would enable a small number of clubs to be in this competition come what may. And for millions of people in football, that goes against everything that the sport means and stands for.
It's a closed shop, essentially.
That is the idea. The idea is that the uncertainty that comes with sport, that makes it so compelling, that we all love, is actually damaging to the business models of these huge clubs. And so the scheme is designed to take away that uncertainty, to give predictability to their businesses so that if they're badly managed or have a poor year, they're still in the Premier tournament. Now, does that sound like sport or football to you? To me, it sounds a grotesque concept.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, your host, and joining me for an episode where we don't actually discuss a Villa game because Aston Villa had the week off. Joining me, Mr. Chris Bird and Mr. Phil Shaw.
Hello.
Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hi, David.
Hello.
Not too bad. Did you have a peaceful weekend, sans Villa?
It was refreshingly calm. It was great.
Yeah, it was like detox.
You got some midweek madness to come now as Villa entertain Manchester City on Wednesday. Hopefully you'll listen to the show before that. I don't think we'll dwell too much on that game because it is what it is, isn't it? Although right, City...
It's the next step of us derailing their quadruple.
Yeah, well, step number one...
As you said yourself.
Yeah, we were on the one of the Manchester City podcasts, me and the Bud, the Blue Moon podcast, which I put out to My Old Man Said patrons on the channel. And the, like, my parting words were, good luck with your quadruple.
Oops.
within, I don't know, was it 24 hours?
24 hours.
It was over.
The David Michael curse.
Stronger than some kind of ancient Egyptian curse.
They lost the semi-final and their best player went off injured.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that, yeah. Ooh, sorry about that, lads. I thought I was just going for like a little light curse there where you lose your quadruple. I didn't mean to get rid of your best player as well. Anyway. All right, so coming up in the show, a bit shorter than normal show, we'll tuck into the Villa news. A very varied and potentially entertaining 3 points as well, where we look at the latest evolution of the European Super League, which is stirring up a hornet's nest as we speak. Also, a tech company has a solution to the toxic social media outrage, whether it be racism or just pure hate. And also, I don't know, was this something to do with Donkey Kong sex parties? I don't know what that's about. we'll get into that as well. Before an underrated and overrated, and since we're not talking about any big games or anything, we decided to lay off the big players. And instead, we've got a player that played 75 games, not for Villa. This is his entire career. How many, like 20
million clubs?
20 years of his career, probably like, as Chris said, a million clubs, but only 75 appearances. Guess who that is? You'll find out later on. Right, Villa news, not that much really shaking, especially for the men's team. Probably the biggest thing is when Wesley played yet another under-23s game as got beat 2-1 by Leeds. Always a bit suspicious, this, when you see an under-23s team and it's got a few first-teamers in. I mean, we had Steer in there, we had Engels, we had Courtney Hawes, and then Wesley up front. Leeds didn't really have anybody. And, I mean, apart from an Aaron Ramsey consolation free kick in the dying minutes, no sign of Wesley doing anything against an under-23s Leeds team. So you start to get a bit worried that you've got your backup centre-backs in that defence as well.
Getting taken apart by kids.
Yeah. Well, I didn't watch the game, so I can't really make any great insights or comments, but...
At least he got through an hour of it without getting injured this time.
Yeah, no, I suppose. I mean, from a Wesley point of view, it's all about getting his minutes in, really, and getting some sharpness back. I'd imagine he'd need a couple more games, wouldn't he? Right. Yeah. Also, the youth team managed to beat Burton 9-0, including a Louis Barry hat-trick, including a free kick. So that's Aaron Ramsey and Louis Barry coming through the ranks who can actually take free kicks, which is a promising sign. It's good to have prodigal sons that can take free kicks, isn't it?
End of days, isn't it?
They won 9-0. I mean, I saw the highlights. I mean, it should have been about 12 or 13. The chances they missed were shockers as well. They should have absolutely pulverised them.
Oh, he's looking on the dark side, old bird, isn't he?
Great fun to watch, though. A team actually playing like attractive passing football is brilliant.
There is a lot of it, kind of incision about them and how they construct their moves with real intent, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm happy to see a clean sheet as well, because usually when we talk about the youth team, it's like, oh, they're great going forward, but they let in five, so that's an improvement.
The youth team move into the Youth Cup quarterfinals to play Newcastle in the next round.
I mean, Burton, I'm guessing, weren't much cut, but I saw Carney Chukwueze, he's just physically so much more developed than everyone. He literally just ran the game. He just walked through Burton. It was almost embarrassing.
Yeah. Speaking of embarrassing, the Villa ladies took an 8-0 thumping against Manchester City in the Women's FA Cup. This is a team that beat Villa ladies in the league. I think it was 2-0, which was seen as a positive sign for Villa ladies, because you expected them to probably get beat 8-0, so this is probably the normality returning. But, you know, FA Cup, who cares? This is judgment week, is it not, for the Villa ladies?
Yeah, it looks like it down the bottom of the table.
Three teams at the bottom. Villa are at the bottom at the moment. There's only one relegation place. So Villa at the bottom with 10 points, Bristol City on 11 points, but they've played two games more. And then West Ham are on 12 points. They've played the same amount of games as Villa. And the fun bit is the next two games, all this week, one on Tuesday, they go away to West Ham. And then on the weekend, they're at home to Bristol City. So I think they'll need 4 points there, and then they'll feel a bit safer. But yeah, if they lose both of them, could be curtains, because these are probably the two easiest chances of points in this league, such as the discrepancy.
It's okay. Iwabushi's home from Japan, so...
She tore it up over there, didn't she, as well?
Yeah, all hopes on her. On her small shoulders.
Small legs, small shoulders. But yeah, no, I think Villa, if that was Alex Ferguson, he wouldn't have let her go, because Villa just capitulated while she was away. Meanwhile, Tyron Mings tweeted his... I mean, there's a racial incident against footballers daily now. Tyron Mings tweeted a DM he received on Instagram, which even England... tweeted their support of him, retweeted what he said, and Villa put out their statement. But we'll get on to how you tackle these things in one of the 3 points. First of all, in the 3 points, though, European Super League. I mean, we've been speaking about this over various podcasts because, you know, it's been in different incarnations, and you just think the timing's not very subtle, because we're obviously in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, first of all, it was Project Big Picture, or Project Big Bollocks, whatever we were calling it at the time. And now it seems a bit distinct. I mean, while we're recording this, we're actually expecting a statement from the six English teams that have signed up for a European Super League. which, I mean, the knock-on effects are pretty catastrophic in terms of the domestic competitions. I mean, in England, I think you're looking at the League Cup would be buggered. You're looking at a team that will just, if they're allowed still in the Premier League, that they'd treat that as a secondary entity, wouldn't they?
Yeah, it would just be. I mean, I can just imagine they're away with tins of Brasso now, and they're just for their necks, just to shine it up, because it's brazen what they're doing at the moment. That's taking advantage of no fans and grounds, pandemic, all the things that we've been over before. But the most worrying thing about it is it's almost like a Trojan horse. It's like every time that they get a chance to sort of push this, they ask for more and more, and this just so happens this is before the restructuring of the Champions League was going. So they're obviously looking a better deal for it. So they're using this. Leak to the press, use this as leverage to try and get a better deal.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's just a greed grab. We were listening to Gary Neville talking about this on Sky prior to recording, and I agree with what he says. If I was the Premier League, just deduct points straight away and fine them instantly.
Or just fuck them off.
Well, the Premier League is actually the stakeholders of the Premier League, and each club owns 5% are the Premier League clubs. So, you know, your Aston Villas, Leeds, Leicesters, whatever, could potentially vote to deduct points off these six teams. I don't think this will happen because nobody's got the bollocks to do such a thing, and they wouldn't want to rock the boat, but they should be doing that. They should just be going, right, you want to do that? Well, fuck off. And by the way, you're getting fined this and you're getting deducted these points. You know, you'll just automatically relegate them. It sounds controversial, but you need to nip this in the bud. I mean, these are... As Gary Neville was saying, you know, Liverpool think they're the team of the people, and Manchester United, long, long history. And this is just shitting on everybody, the supporters. I mean, it's just like taking a dump on the supporters to basically say, yeah, you know, your culture, your the fact that your families have supported, you know, down generations, you know, these teams, it means nothing. We're going to start a European league, and, you know, you can go and fuck yourself in terms of the domestic leagues and cups, and we're not really interested about the pyramid and supporting the pyramid. We've got our own thing going on where they'll never get relegated out of the European Super League. And I don't watch Champions League, and, you know, I can't really judge what the temperature is out there, but I hear that the BT sports subscriptions aren't that great in terms of European games.
I watch it every now and then when it's like the business end, but I'm not asked about watching, you know, second, like fourth place in England against second place in Czechoslovakia or something.
Yeah, I think they're just banking on their own audiences. I don't know how many steps ahead they would think about this. You know, what would they think? Well, what do you think the fans are going to do? I think they've seen through the pandemic that, well, you don't really need fans anyway, which was always the case because the TV,
like, right? Yeah, we'll get it on the global TV audience. Fuck the Europeans.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't even thought about the practicalities of the whole thing. I mean, the FA sanction games in England, so they might not even be able to play at their home stadium. They might have to play overseas. They need their own sort of referees and things like that. There's just, whenever you start to actually try and figure out how this would happen, if the FA just disowned them, then obviously they're not thinking about it. They're just hoping that everybody just bends to their will.
Yeah, I mean, from an early point when this was first alerted, and, you know, it was always a serious thing at the Football Supporters Association, the Premier League, the FA, UEFA, we're all, you know, all singing from the same page, and the supporters as well. So everybody's basically standing on the side against this. And so if these six clubs, and I quite like Gary Neville went, you know, because you look at the lineup there, you know, you've got Manchester United and Liverpool, that you would consider, whether begrudgingly or not, like... the benchmark traditionally of, you know, English football clubs, like the successful ones, the biggest ones. I mean, Manchester City, Chelsea's are new money. Their owners don't really give a fuck about the English league, and you know, they're on just, they just want a global exposure and more money. And then Arsenal are more. I mean, obviously they've got history, but recently, I wouldn't say they're at the top of the top. And in the last, let's say, few years, they've kind of drifted a little bit. And then it was just funny when Neville then referenced Spurs, and he goes, "Ah, Spurs, I don't care about them. It's like they're a non-entity. They're pretending to be a big club, if you know what I mean."
It's just laughable. You know, you got teams in there like Arsenal and Spurs who haven't even won a European Cup yet, want to be treated as European super teams. Yet you got teams like Forest, probably one of the very few teams who've actually ever defended it, or Villa who've won it, or various teams across Europe who've won big European trophies, and Arsenal and Spurs have done, let's be frank, diddly squat in the last few years. Arsenal lost twice to fucking Villa in the last last 12 months.
Yeah, because the bottom line is, in football as a competition, is any team, let's say, let's say from the four leagues now, even, you know, non-league, potentially could go through the leagues, end up playing in Europe, and they've got a chance of winning the European Cup or being the best team in Europe. That is the ideology. Obviously, we know it's skewed towards the money teams. In principle, there's a possibility there. So to take that away, it's like, well, what are we playing for now? We're just playing to exist. I mean, football soured my taste for it a long time ago. And it's like almost muscle memory that you carry on. But, you know, it only takes something like this to have people turning against their own clubs, alleged top six who really are showing little interest in the traditions and culture of football in this country because they've got no real connections, the owners. And
no, nope.
But the Germans have taken an unsurprisingly stronger stance, haven't they? You got teams like Bayern Munich, who are one of the, you know, iconic juggernauts of Europe, and they've just gone, nah, we're not interested. Dortmund the same.
Because the main protagonist is the Juventus owner. He's the one kind of leading this. You know, we joked on another show that, you know, because he was talking about subscriptions where you just pay for the last 15 minutes of games. And I think, you know, the idea of having, what do they call it, green hat thinking, where nothing's off the table, is a good way, you know, of doing things. And in terms of football, it needs to be revamped or rethought, but I think more is to turn it back into a competition, not to create a further disparity between the top, the status quo top, and the rest of the clubs, because, you know, the long term, I can't see it growing in interest. People just drift onto other things.
Well, there's plenty of other things for young people to get interested in.
Right, anyway, let's move on. We'll see how that pans out, but it seems to be getting into more of a DEFCON 1 situation. Before, it's something that your casual supporter wasn't really believing would ever happen, but I think now the intent is there for all to see.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
See. In terms of point number two, as we mentioned, Tyrone Mings is the latest high-profile case of racial abuse player to have received it. We spoke about combating racism in the last Villa fan consultation group meeting, and I asked them about, are they using filters? Are they using, you know, filtered phrases and keywords in different languages, etc.? Didn't seem to be a very distinct answer on that, and they didn't think it was like that possible, which it is, because, you know, I run a Facebook page and social media. But some Premier clubs are now allegedly turning to a tech company called Respondology.
What a shit name.
Oh, it's not... These boys are geniuses. I mean, they're making the Emperor's new clothes here. That is exactly what they're doing. I mean, I'd like to just say, I mean, you're obviously going to contribute to my startup company, like Responder Tech or something along that's the title to be confirmed. So, oh, hello, yeah, no problem. That's who you get through to. Yeah, we'll just put the filter on now. Yep, thanks. That'll be a couple of million. Thanks.
What do they say they were going to do?
Their president, Eric Swain, says our tool is called Mod. Trademark. This removes abusive comments as well as spam and bots in almost less than a second in real time. He goes, we use filtering technology to do this, which is highly customizable for every club or every brand. Yeah.
This is what you could cover most of that just by sitting down and going in Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and filtering out certain words. Also, if you're going to get together as a Premier League, as a sport, to then actually lobby the social media groups, which they supposedly have meetings, you know, on an ongoing basis, you just ask for like an Instagram where you can post something without putting comments on. You just do that on Facebook as well, or just have a thumbs up. Like, you know, Facebook used to be. You used to be able to, you put up a post and people could just react by making a comment or just giving a thumbs up. It's, you know, it's only later that they added all the different, you know, different emoji reactions. So you just ask for another layer of basic post putting on Facebook. That solves that problem. A few filters, that solves that problem. But yeah, this is clubs. They just think you have to pay a company to do something. That's always been the mentality. Let's pay some company thousands to do it instead of just sitting down and doing it in-house. I don't know. Third and final point, I referred to it as Donkey Kong. Sex Part isn't actually Donkey Kong. It's Ryan Donk, who used to play for the Albion, who now plays at Galatasaray. He's getting on for a footballer, 35, but I don't think he's in Galatasaray to play football, considering what Galatasaray's president's come out publicly to damn him for doing, which is essentially hosting orgies all the time. And I quote, players can't perform physically as they've been doing it somewhere else. as the club president Mustafa, is it Cengiz, said, essentially he's just sick and tired of these parties because it's just draining the players of their energy.
And man fluid.
So what do you think about this?
He's clearly having a great time, isn't he?
I think the main problem is, I mean, you know, they were winning the Turkish League and Cups, and now suddenly they're 8 points behind Besiktas, and they've been on a bad run. So that's when the president starts looking around, because if you're winning leagues and cups and you're having these orgies and sex parties, then you can go, well, you know, doing us no harm, is it? But as soon as you start slipping and you're not going to win the league, then they start to point the finger and...
Look, who are we going to blame? Shagger Donk over there?
Yeah. The Donk. Ryan Babel apparently has enjoyed doing these. But yeah, no, just the quote when the president says, "We are sick and tired of Donk's sex parties." the players are not training properly. They party during the nights before they have morning training sessions. Then they can't perform physically as they have been doing it elsewhere. They are far too preoccupied with having fun.
Makes Villa moving their training so the team can play Call of Duty at night. It's a bit tame, doesn't it?
Yeah. What a boring bunch.
Yeah, well, we don't know what goes on in the behind the scenes officially. Well, we know a few things, but we're not allowed to say on these shows. Right, we could do a Manchester City and just guess what's going to happen, but I think that would be too easy, really.
They're going to have about 800 shots at goal. We'll have one, and we'll win 1-0.
Yeah, we'll stick to that. Right, under or overrated, let's finish with that. We teased who it was. I don't know if anybody would have guessed it from, what did we say, 20 years, 75 games across about a million clubs. It's actually 12 clubs in his career, and he only managed to get 75 games. Second biggest amount was actually at the Villa, and it was Mr. Stuart Taylor. Remember him?
I remember him doing the warm-ups, yeah. I mean, he used to cross the ball pretty well, didn't he?
Yeah, Stuart Taylor, he was a second-string keeper at one stage. This was, let's ask the question, why did we get Taylor in? Nobody knows.
David O'Leary signed him as competition to push Thomas Sorensen for the number one spot.
Signed him from Arsenal, where he'd been there about 8 years. He'd come through their ranks, but he spent most of his time out on loan from Arsenal. So he's probably saw this as this is like a Martinez move, wasn't it? Moving away from Arsenal to Villa to stake a claim as a number one. But it didn't really go that way, though, did it?
Well, he said himself, this is all about career progression. It was no good for me to stay at Arsenal. Oh, no.
Yeah, when he signed, Taylor said, this is pretty like Martinez wrote the script for Martinez. It was no good for me to stay at Arsenal. And then referring to Thomas Sorensen, Thomas is a great goalkeeper, but it's up to me to push him all the way.
And Thomas made lots of howlers in local derbies, and he still couldn't push him out of the team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he needed a proper injury to keep him out for him to get a run of games. But it's a bit of an odd one. I mean, can you remember any highlights?
He saved a Wayne Rooney penalty in a 4-1 loss. So well done for that, Stuart. We didn't lose 5-1 with 9 men against Man U. And I remember the famous, there was the Steven Gerrard free kick, wasn't there? I think it was the first game of the season where they got a free kick with the last kick of the game and he whipped it in the top corner from about 30 yards. Stuart Taylor couldn't get anywhere near it, you know, all 6'6" of him or whatever he was.
Yeah, it's, I mean, even the New York Times even ran a piece on him, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Rory Smith did a bit on him because he got this tag as being like, he's like the journeyman that didn't play any games. He's just like, his position was just left out and he was sort of arguing against it. But when you read down it, he seems to have been spanned the same tale at every club he's went to. It's like, yeah, we're signing you as number two, but don't worry, if the keeper gets injured, you'll be straight in and you'll get cup games and everything else. Then as soon as he signs in the dotted line, they sign another two keepers, so he's now third or fourth choice.
Which happened at Villa, doesn't it? Did it not?
Yeah, obviously we brought, you know, Guzan arrived, Friedel arrived, and then he went. And of course, he somehow managed to go to Manchester City.
Yeah, that was the surprising move here, because this was in a period where Manchester City were, this is when they were becoming somebody, wasn't it? When the money started to flow.
Yeah, they were just starting to flex their muscles, really.
And one of their early signings was Stuart Taylor from Villa.
Bizarre.
He never played for them. He was there for like around 2-3 seasons.
They did the same with Scott Carson, didn't they? He went there recently.
Well, yeah. Well, they do that though,
just to keep the homegrown sort of caught up.
Yeah, but also it does give them that, you know, that third choice, just because sometimes you do get you know, freak injuries where both of your goalkeepers are out. That's why Villa over the last couple of seasons have made sure they've got at least 8 goalkeepers in,
just in case we need to play them at right back.
Just to cover all eventualities. But it's like, for example, in the film world where script writers can actually make a living and make a good living writing scripts, selling them and having deals, you know, three script deals, 4 script deals with film companies. And these scripts never get made. They're just on the shelf, these scripts, but they make a decent living out of it. I mean, Stuart Taylor said he hasn't made a lot of money, but you know, I would say, considering the years he's playing, I mean, he's not, what's Manchester City playing him? You know, they're paying him what people earn in a year, in a week, aren't they?
You would think. I don't know what a third, fourth choice goalkeeper gets there.
Yeah, he's not getting mega bucks, but he's getting a better wage than most.
Yeah, he's getting a great seat to watch all the games as well.
Yeah, great quality of life, isn't it?
No, exactly. So if he's investing his money, he should be all right when he comes out of football, which I think he's goalkeeping coaching. Do we know where?
Yeah, he's got his own goalkeeping academy.
What the fuck does he know? He doesn't play.
Yeah, you normally lead by example, don't you?
See, lads, this is how we do it at the sharp end. Shut up, Stuart.
He's warmed up some of the best goalkeepers in the world.
True. This is a good point.
And Tommy Sorensen.
I've hit crosses for some of the best in the world.
But there is something when we were researching, I did it, looked him up on YouTube, and there is, I think it was the last team he played for, he didn't actually
train at.
He didn't actually make an appearance for them.
The last team he trained at?
Yeah, the last team he trained at, Southampton, which was 2018, was the last year. The club's social media team obviously thought it was worthy content to put a Stuart Taylor chess cam on and having penalties against them. I think Bertram's taking them. And it's just bizarre that passes as content nowadays. No wonder it only got like a few thousand views. But that's probably the highlight of his career, though.
I bet he gets a bit of extra money if he signed his own rights when he did his contract as well.
Yeah. He's loving it, but he did save them, so.
Yeah, and he was predicted where the players were going to put him as well. So he should have honed that skill of, and it might have made he might have made more of a career out of this goalkeeping lock.
You wonder what his level would have been if he was willing to leave. Like, would he have gone into the Championship and got a game? Would he have gone to League One? Or who would have had him? Because he's probably a good goalkeeper.
You thought when Sorensen was there and he was having he had a little bit of a shaky spell. You thought, this is Taylor's chance now. We'll find out. You know, I mean, I know Posma was around
Well, but, speaking of sex parties.
Yeah, but he was more into Donk's sex parties. Was that when Donk was at the Albion? So all the stars are aligning now. But you thought, oh, Taylor might actually get in here and establish himself finally, a bit like what Martinez has done now. But he didn't really rise to the occasion. I mean, I remember he had a little run of games when Sorensen was injured over a period of time, but ultimately it was a failure. But then he thought, he went to Manchester City and he thought, there's a move that really shows you what kind of attitude he's got, because they probably offered him more money than anybody else would in a lower league. So that's probably where ultimately he went there. But he was never going to be number one there.
You just wonder what the player or the person's aspirations are.
Probably like 30. So that should have been, he's getting into his prime. So that's when he should have made his move to play regularly, I think. But I think he opted for more money at City, and that was the end, really. He only played 7 games after that, 4 for Reading, 3 for Leeds. Then it was adios. Underrated or overrated?
How many games do you have to play to qualify to be rated?
Does he even get on the scale here?
Actually, for a Villa play, he probably didn't even qualify to be in this segment with 12 appearances.
I'm going to have to say overrated. I mean, if you come from Arsenal at the time, you would expect him to challenge Sorensen, especially when Sorensen wasn't performing. Well, maybe he was performing at his best. Well, Sorensen wasn't good enough at the time.
Chris, overrated or underrated? Quick.
Shite.
Overrated or underrated?
Over.
That's 3 overs. Sorry, Stuart Taylor. No funny stories, really. It's just like he is kind of this enigma in football that does happen. I mean, name some other players.
Bogard.
Yeah, exactly. They're famous for this, where you can have a career in football without playing.
Well, Gareth Bale's doing a pretty good job of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he managed to score in a Champions League final. There is a distinction. Right, before we go, I just want to say a big thank you to the My Own Man Said patrons for supporting the show. Please do, if you're not already a patron, please do consider signing up, where you get access to the My Own Man Said patron podcast channel, where we do extra shows every month. There's a couple of Manchester City related shows out this month. Plus, finally, the My Old Mandalorian Said brackets working title, where we talk about screen culture and other things rather than Villa and football. Please do go to myoldmansaid.com and click the patron link on the menu bar to get more details. And special thanks to Dr. Ruben Shipway for signing up for an annual subscription. If you sign up for an annual subscription, you get 2 months off, which is about 15% off. So go to the website and check it out there. Thank you very much. Also, please do subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple, all the good podcast channels that you may use. And if you do listen to it on Apple, please do give us a review as well. Maybe not this show, maybe some of the older shows review, because this show doesn't really have, didn't actually have a game to talk about. All right, any famous last words, gentlemen?
None from me, David.
Nope.
Right, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.